My babies. Come along. Everybody's hungry. Well, so many guests tonight. Hello, cutie.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott, and with me is my cat puncher, Joe.
Hello, everybody, and I have not punched a cat, even though I would love to punch a cat.
Yeah.
Especially the ones in this movie. I mean, if anything could change my mind about my disdain for cats, it's definitely not this movie.
Nice. Are you suggesting we're doing something tonight?
Talking trash.
Talking trash, indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, the often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because here on the show, we truly believe you can't review film unless you know what the worst is. And it's September, and it's ending September for us. And we were celebrating National Cat Month by doing low-rated weird cat flicks that we found online. And last month, we did Dog Month. Where it was National Dog Month, actually.
We were celebrating National Dog Month. Yeah, we were acknowledging Cat Month.
All right. That's interesting. We're celebrating the only way we know how, by watching low-rated shit.
Yeah.
Cat and dog flicks. And today, this week, ending the two-month cats and dogs, we're watching a movie with the tagline, "They have nine lives, we only have one."
Hmm.
We're talking about 1991's TV movie Strays.
Oh, this is a TV movie?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It has a 4.7 on IMDb from 1,055 reviewers. It was directed by John McPherson, a TV director, a film cinematographer, who worked on Fetch Lives, Short Circuit 2, Wait, Jaws Revenge.
Fetch Lives?
Yeah.
Fletch.
What'd I say?
Fetch.
Oh, yeah, I did. I must have been thinking about the dogs.
Go fetch.
I love when I write these. I don't know if of all this time that we've been doing this, I don't know if you've noticed, but I always name some decent movies and slowly go into shit.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that I do that for each person?
Yes.
I do that for you because we've seen so many bad movies together that we mostly know everybody from shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, when I said Fletch Lives, Short Circuit 2, and Jaws Revenge.
Yeah.
It was written and produced by singer and actor Sean Cassidy. As his first writer's credit, he is the creator of the short-lived TV show Invasion that used to follow Lost when we used to watch it back in the day.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
He is the son of actor Shirley Jones from The Music Man.
Oh, nice.
And actor-singer Jack Cassidy, father of David Cassidy.
Oh.
So they're stepbrothers. Yeah.
Cool.
Or half-brothers? What is it? I don't know. The film aired on the USA Network on December 18th of 91, probably wedged in between a marathon of Airwolf or the Hitchhiker television show. I mean, that's what I'm assuming was going on in the 90s. Like, do you remember anything about the USA Network back in the day?
Not really.
I just remember they did have a lot of weird movies. Like, they had Up All Night. Am I correct? Was that USA?
Yeah, I think so. It's Rhonda Shear.
Yeah, they had some kind of, or was that a different thing? I don't know. But I also remember they used to have a horror movie marathon night. Do you remember that?
Yes.
It's like weird movies that they put out.
Yeah.
This wasn't on that. I had to go back in time and look. Excuse me. I had to go back in time and look at 91. And this was on a Wednesday night. This aired on a Wednesday night.
Hmm.
So I was like, what the hell was on a Wednesday night? It must have been Airwolf. I just assume. I feel like when I was a kid in the 90s, when I just flipped on television, it was always like Airwolf. And did you ever watch it?
No, but I watched MacGyver.
I did. You know, MacGyver was always on too, but I remember only seeing that as the adults were watching it.
Yeah.
It wasn't something I was thrilled about. I was thrilled when I saw the A-Team or the Incredible Hulk.
Oh man, I love MacGyver. I used to watch it with my mom. He was so handsome.
I did watch, you know, it was like Highway to Heaven.
Quantum Michael Leap. Landon, yeah.
Yeah, Quantum Leap was a big one.
My mom liked Michael Landon.
Yeah, Michael Landon in anything. Which is funny because when we talk about the actors next, that's a good segue by accident here. This movie stars Timothy Busfield. He's playing Paul in this movie. I know him from growing up. My mother used to be obsessed with the show 30-something. He is one of the main actors on that show. He was also on The West Wing. He was in Stripes, Revenge of the Nerds. And did you know he was married to Melissa Gilbert?
No, I did not know that, but I did recognize him from Revenge of the Nerds, which you always, like, it tells you a lot about a person by, like, what movie you know them from.
Okay. All right.
And I have seen Revenge of the Nerds a lot. I've actually seen Revenge of the Nerds, Nerds in Paradise, more than Revenge of the Nerds, the first one.
Yeah, I actually think the sequel is better than the first one.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't like watching the first one. I actually like watching the second one.
The first one, it does not hold up at all.
Yeah, it's also...
you watch it, it's very pervy and rapey.
Yeah, it's a questionable flick, that movie.
Yeah,
the second one is really funny.
Yeah, oh, the second one's great. When they're all in their skivvies and they get pranked and stuff. And Lamar's wearing his little Speedos, his little leopard print Speedos. This is stupid shit that I remember.
The good stuff. I like how I said to you, did you know he was married to Melissa Gilbert? But the only reason was I said that was because she was on Little House on the Prairie.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the segue there. Huh. I didn't know that. Thought that was interesting. Hmm. Anyways, okay. It also stars Kathleen Quinlan. She's playing Lindsay, the wife in this film. She was in American Graffiti, Apollo 13. And did you know she was married once to... this is the theme for me tonight. She was once married to actor Bruce Abbott from the Reanimator films.
Oh, wow.
He was the other main star.
Okay. Is she significantly older than Timothy Busfield? Because
I don't know. I didn't look into that.
She kind of looked older than him. They're playing husband and wife.
I don't think so. I think that this actress, I'm going to guess that that's around the same age. She was born in 54.
Oh, okay.
And he was born in, if it'll load, 57.
Oh.
So, yeah, a little younger.
Okay. But what I really want to know is the woman playing the sister. It was bothering me through the whole entire movie.
This is one of the easiest movies to talk about because when I was doing the information, this was one of the easiest because there is no cast. There's five people.
Five people total in this movie.
Yeah, I'm pretty much, yeah. I only had to write down a little bit of factoids on each. And the one common theme was that I was falling down a rabbit hole trying to look into these people's lives and their careers and things that have happened to them or whatever. And each one of them, I was fascinated by who they were married to once. That was the theme.
Okay, who is she married to? First of all, who is she? Who is she?
Okay, her name is Claudia Christian. She's playing Claire. She was in the movies The Hidden, Maniac Cop 2, and A Gnome Named Norm.
Like, that can't be all I know her from.
She was also on a television show called Babylon 5. You know her from the horror movies, The Hidden, which is the one with, what's his face from Twin Peaks? And the aliens inside the people's bodies and keeps jumping.
Okay, okay. It's Kyle MacLachlan.
Kyle MacLachlan.
Okay, I do remember her from that.
It's a she is got the alien in her at one point, and they have to fight her, and she's like shooting everybody with a machine gun.
Yes, yes, yes. Okay, I remember that she, in that movie, she had like resting bitch face, and she was just, I just remember her face in it. And it was bothering me through the whole entire movie where I remember her from, so
thank you for that. I don't think she's the main actress in Maniac Cop 2, but Maniac Cop 2 is the movie I actually like better than Maniac Cop 1. One of the rare sequels that I actually enjoy more.
Mm-hmm.
She was married to screenwriter Gary DeVore. That's the one we fell down. I fell down the giant rabbit hole. This movie introduced me to a Hollywood true crime conspiracy theory that I have never heard before, and I'm fascinated by it. Anybody listening, if you're fascinated by the hint that I'm giving you, it is the most bizarre death I've ever heard in my life.
Oh my God. So, okay, Claudia Christian, she's the one playing the sister in this. She was married to him.
She was married to him, but not in the end.
Not in the end when he passed away. Okay.
Yeah, he was remarried.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I fell down the rabbit hole with each spouse.
Yeah. We're going to give you the spelling of this guy's name so that you can look it up, because it is one bonkers story.
In the future, maybe we'll do something, a show or something about these things.
Well, yeah, I mean, honestly, his name is Gary and his last name DeVore. And you have to look up this freaking story.
Yeah, I fell down the rabbit hole. This was the one that I was like, you know what? I know this is going to be more interesting than the movie itself.
Oh, yeah.
So I researched that. I looked into that. I couldn't believe it. I probably could have spent days on just in reading everything I could find on that. But it is fascinating. Go check it out. Yeah. But it sucks that we have to get pointed watching this movie into all these people's marriages. Because everybody's married like 18 times. And when you go to Hollywood movies, when you watch a movie and you go into any Hollywood relationship, you know to look at the spouses.
Oh, my God.
Because it's always so fascinating.
Yeah, I love finding out about people's lives and stuff.
Yeah. So the daughter, and there's a daughter in this movie. We watched this movie. Joe thought that she knew the daughter, the whole movie. And the daughter was played by twins Heather and Jessica Lilly. They weren't in anything really after this.
Oh, okay. I feel like I don't know, because I've seen so many horror movies that have little kids. I feel like I recognize her face, but she was so cute. I felt bad for her in this.
Yeah.
Or them, because they're twins.
Yeah. Well, so that's pretty much the setup of the movie itself, about the behind the scenes kind of cast stuff. We'll talk about it a little more, but let's talk about this plot.
Okay.
Let's talk about this movie and see what we think about agreeing or disagreeing with the score, because the score is super low. And this was a random find. You know, it's very hard for us to find movies on a theme that we haven't seen before. So this was one of those rare times where I was like, you know what? I found a TV movie with some killer cats. And, you know, automatically when you hear TV movie, you think, oh, well, that's going to be complete garbage.
And yeah, I think that most of the time they kind of are trash.
Yeah, and I would say that one of the interesting things about this movie is it does not feel like a TV movie.
Well, no, actually, it doesn't. Nick Fury, Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. felt like a TV movie. Now, that was pure hot garbage.
I would say the Vampirella movie also felt like a TV movie.
It did. That did. But this one did not. This one did not feel like that.
This felt pretty well produced.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we're following a family here. Husband and wife and their daughter, Tessa. The little girl's so cute. She's maybe like 3 or whatever. They actually bought a house in the country, moving from the city. He's a lawyer, and she's a writer.
Now, can I ask you a question? Is the sister a realtor?
The sister's a realtor. So they're buying this house from the sister, and she's played by that Claudia Christian lady. And I got to say, right off the bat, I think that I was just bothered by her in general, like the way she just was. She was just a little too much, a little too extra, this character.
I didn't notice anything wrong. In fact, I thought the setups were really interesting for each character. I thought, okay, they're setting up some stuff. Like, the father's a good father to their kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's a great father.
They seem like a really happy family. The sister seems like they're helping.
Yeah.
And everybody seems to get along. And they're even going out of the way to have the sister say, you landed a great guy.
Yeah, she's a little too touchy.
That was the twist. The twist for us was that he turns out to be her lawyer.
Yeah, because she's going through a messy divorce.
Yeah, she's going through a messy divorce. Now, it's a realtor that can't get her own house for some reason, and she wants to keep the house that she's in.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah, right?
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she wants to keep the... It's an apartment that she owns or whatever with her husband or soon-to-be ex.
Yeah.
And the whole reason that she has a lawyer is because they're fighting over who gets to keep the apartment. Meanwhile, she's a realtor.
I kept thinking about this the whole movie. I was like, that's a weird thing.
Oh.
So, yeah, the weird twist, though, is that for some reason, one morning, she comes over the house to hang out with her sister, I guess, to go to lunch. And when the husband goes to work, she says, thank you for everything you're doing for me. And she plants a kiss on him that is a very sexual kiss.
Okay. Not like how, you know, I kiss my brother-in-law. Hello. Like, you know, nice, good to see you.
Not the cheek.
Cheek lips. Kiss. You know, that's how normal people do it. This was a sexy kiss.
Yeah.
Hey. Let's stop meeting like this.
Hey, what's that?
It's a housewarming present. Oh. Are you leaving? I thought you were coming to breakfast with us.
Oh, I wish I could, but I got husbands to grind. I'll see you in court at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, right? Listen, I wanted to thank you for everything you've been doing.
Oh, well, I'm popular today.
I mean, really, thank you. Bless you.
Oh, thanks. Have a nice breakfast.
Bye.
I was like, this bitch. And the wife saw it from the kitchen and didn't say anything.
She doesn't see. And then the husband doesn't really say anything either and seems to be very kind of into it. But it's not more of a shock, more in shock than into it. But it also kind of like, oh, okay.
I mean, hey, he's not pushing her away.
He's not pushing her away or saying, hey, what the hell are you doing? Nothing like that. He just goes, oh, okay, well, I'll see you later. I got to go to work.
Well, you could tell she's one of those shrews that just, you know, has to take something from her sister because her sister's happy and she doesn't want her sister to be happy because she's not happy. So she has to kind of just like wiggle herself in there.
Well, it's more than that, really. It's actually, it's more that she needs something from him. And she's one of these people who, like, uses sex to get people to do things for her. And we're like, oh, if she does this kind of stuff, he'll fight for her as a lawyer to do anything he can to beat the ex-husband and get the house for her.
Yeah.
The apartment or whatever. We majorly, I would say that we need to back up and explain one big element we forgot to explain.
Okay, so it starts with an elderly lady.
Yes.
In this very same house. Now, we should say that she had an exorbitant amount of cats in the house.
Well,
is crazy cat lady times 100.
So she has, like, I would say, like, I don't know what the level of cat owning is where you're like crazy. Like, she seems to have 3 or 4 maybe cats in the house. And she's like, oh, she wakes up. It's in the middle of the night. There's like a storm, I guess, or a lightning coming or a thunderstorm coming. And she wakes up and she's like, oh, hey, oh, you guys are hungry? Oh, I have no food in here. I have to go outside to my basement. Which, by the way, we find out, we never see this, but one of the characters, the husband of the main character of the movie says, you can use this, you can go to the basement from here.
Yeah, it's one of those cellars that has the doors on the outside.
Yeah, but no one ever uses that staircase. And this old woman decides to go all the way outside and open those big doors to go down into the cellar instead of using the doorway in the house. So it's really strange.
It is very strange.
When she gets out that door, that's when we realize her cats have called every single cat in town. because there is like 20 cats.
There's at least 20 out there.
And she even says, oh, you brought all your friends over. Now, okay, here's the huge thing that I think was most interesting for us, because we didn't know what we were about to watch. And I really love going in blind to these movies because you never know what you're going to get. And one of the twists that we thought we didn't know what could happen next is there's something watching and it is making noises that almost seems human. And then we're like, I think you were thinking, oh, this is a werewolf film or some sort?
I thought it was like a werecat film. Like, oh, maybe
that would be cool.
Something like that. Like, it's supernatural because the way that the cat's eye view and like the directing is that we're watching it through the animal's perspective. And so we see that this animal is rushing this old lady, like he's going to attack. But it looks like it's way too high off the ground to be a regular cat.
Well, it's also doing that Jason Voorhees in the forest watching.
Yeah.
And it seems like it's big.
Well,
my first thought was it's a person.
That's what I thought too. I thought it was.
Well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that what you said to me during the film, the watching of this movie, I mean, when I said, oh, it's a human, and you said, oh my God, please be a human that acts like a cat.
Yeah, I thought it was going to, you know, if it wasn't going to be a werecat or something like.
Yeah,
you know,
this isn't True Blood.
Yeah, I thought that it was maybe a human that was like, had gone mad.
That's what I thought.
And thought it was a cat because she ran down the stairs. Now, here's what boggles my mind is that she ran down the stairs of the cellar in fear, but why would she run if a cat was just running towards her? Like a regular cat.
That's what I'm getting
at. She's surrounded by 30 cats.
Well, you revealed the twist. We didn't see. We don't see it for a very long time what's happening. We just keep assuming we were assuming for at least 20 minutes of this movie that it is some kind of creature or a man.
I thought so, yeah.
Like a serial killer that has cats with him.
Yeah, but they don't waste any time because when the family, you know, obviously the woman falls down the stairs and dies. We don't see it.
We don't see it.
But the family buys the house after the old lady passes away. And then we see also a cat's eye view when they first, you know, the family goes in and looks around the house if they want to buy it. We see that there is a cat lurking about, but we see it through the cat's eyes. So
it still doesn't tell us it's a cat. We still thought it was a human.
I mean,
It's even like that. It's like making noise.
I kind of was just like, okay, this has just got to be a regular cat at this point, right?
Well, you thought, what you actually said to me during the movie was like, oh, I know what's going to happen here. We think it's that person. You think it's the killer, but it's actually going to be a real cat. And then you were like, oh, the daughter's going to want to take the cat.
Yeah, it's going to be one of those situations in the movie where she says, oh my gosh, daddy, I found a cat. Can I keep the cat? Even though you're allergic, that is a huge plot point.
A huge plot point.
He is allergic. The father's allergic to cats.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh Lord. I'm like, this is just too perfect.
I said, when you said it, I was like, oh my God, you're right. I actually said 150,000%. That's what's going to happen in this movie. And it didn't. And no. I will say, I'm going to give the movie credit because we didn't know what was occurring.
No.
And we were kind of on edge, like, Like, I think a big part of this is that when we watch a lot of these bad movies, one of our instincts is to think of the most insane thing.
Of course.
And so we never think about just the generic thing.
No, I never like to. I always think outside the box on these talking trash movies because I was like, it's never what you expect it to be.
Yeah. And I was thinking, you know, as a really underseen movie called the Wolf of Snow Hollow, I believe, and no one's seen it. I don't know why no one talks about it. It's actually a pretty good flick, but spoiler alert: one of the most interesting things about the movie is it's not a werewolf movie. It's a serial killer film, and you don't really know.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like that was what was occurring the whole time. I was like, oh, it's gonna be like that, and the cats, for some reason, are linked to this guy.
Yeah.
And I didn't know how or why it would happen.
I was like, hoping it would be something like that.
Yeah, is this a rat catcher scenario where the guy controls cats? I didn't know. Well, what's funny, because I think this month we also watched The Black Cat, which was a guy kind of mentally linked with a cat.
Yeah.
So I think we're instantly going, oh, it's got to be something creative.
Yeah, but I got to tell you though, this was of all the cat movies we watched this month, this one had the most cats in it. The most. I was like,
is that true?
Hell no. Yeah, most cats on screen at one time. Yes, 100%. Because in the other movies, we had maybe one, three tops if we're going there. Okay, this movie had no less than 20 cats. I was like, I think that they just envisioned my nightmare of what my nightmare would be. All you have to do is throw an ostrich in there.
Counting corpse grinders. I guess it wasn't that many.
No, absolutely not.
Maybe like
not.
Five or six cats. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah, absolutely not. There's literally 20 cats on screen at all times in this movie.
And that's true.
I mean, it's bonkers.
We'll get into it because I was going to say that there's so many things I have questions about while also being kind of impressed with the movie a little bit because it's a very small scale movie, very on the cheap. And it actually is kind of like it holds your attention really well.
It really does because I think that a lot of it was me being completely terrified. Because I'm seeing what these cats are doing. And again, kudos to the animal trainers.
We'll get into that when it starts happening. But yeah, I'm like, even the setup.
Yeah.
The setup. I was kind of like, okay, I like this family.
I did like the family. I did, yeah.
And even having like this weird plot line with the sister was odd. And you know what was one of the weirdest things? I don't know if I should talk about it first or whatever, but I will say that there's a lot of money pit problems with the house because I think right out the gate, we're kind of like introduced a whole bunch of things. He installs a doggy door for their dog and he's trying to teach the dog how to use it. He's trying to be a good dad, but he also, the phone lines don't work. So there's a phone guy comes out and they also have wiring problems, and because the microwave wire is messed up, and that's like a thing that's set up, and there's kind of like they keep setting these little things up like everything's going wrong with this house. Well, when the phone guy comes out, he goes to the basement and we think he's going to get jumped because we're watching eye vision again through someone's eyes, and he's like in the basement. He has to go to this dungy, nasty basement, like just disgusting. And no one's cleaned it up. It's got old junk in it. And a rat jumps out on him.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I don't know if they're trying to make me lose my shit, but I'm like, it can't get worse. Just can't. A rat jumped on his neck. I was like, nope, I don't give a shit how much they're paying this guy. Okay. They can't be possibly paying him enough to deal with what he had to go through in this particular scene.
Yeah.
There's just no way.
I
no way. You can just blow out your ass because there's no way I'm doing any of it.
This actor, that he only has a little bit to do in this movie, but he does have some of the shittiest work. When I looked up the actor, we didn't know him from anything, but he is like a bit actor who literally plays like truck guy.
Oh.
Garbage man, like things like that.
I mean, you know what?
Phone guy.
It probably pays the bills and stuff, and that's cool. But for this particular film that he had to do this, no, I'm out.
I would
be out.
He tells the husband, "Hey, you have rats, a lot of rats, and if they're in the basement, they're in the house. You need to do something about them. They're chewing through the phone lines. I have to go and get new equipment to try to replace the phone lines in the house." And so he's like, "I hooked up the phone in the basement and you could call out. If you need to make a phone call, you can call through that." Right?
If I heard this, I'd be like, what?
Yeah. This rats? Guy's like, "Ah, crap. I got to go get stuff from the rats now." Yeah.
No, I just burned down the house.
So that the phone guy leaves and they go on a drive. I don't know where they're going, but they're going on a drive. And all of a sudden, a cat jumps across their window. It looks like someone chucked it, which also led to my belief that there was a man involved in this movie. The cat just, like, it looks like it gets flung across their windshield. They swerve and they crash into a ditch. And we were super concerned about the daughter.
Oh my God, the little girl in the back seat. Like, I know that she's way too young to try and act, but I think she was genuinely scared.
Well, I was kind of shocked that these kids didn't grow up to be actors, because this kid is very interesting.
She does a good job.
And very terrified throughout this film. And it kind of shocked that she didn't do more.
I
should have said that. Yeah, you're right.
But, so they get into a car accident and the car's in a freaking ditch. And they both, the husband and wife, see the cat. And they see the cat running away, like, you know, yeah, done it. Go F yourself.
Yeah, exactly.
He's like jumped on your windshield and almost killed you.
I actually think it was two different colored cats, too. It made me laugh.
One was gray, and then the other one was like an orange tabby.
Yeah, the one that went across the windshield looked gold. It looked like Morris from Friskies or whatever. Or Nine Lives or whatever the hell those food companies, whatever the Corpse Grinders company was. So, they see the cat walk away. It's like a gray cat, Lotus cat food. That was our sponsor last week. Now they have to call. Not only do they have the phone guy coming, but now they have to call and have a tow truck get the car. And their phone line is messed up. They have a battery operated phone that they're using. So I guess they're trying to use that, but it's like breaking up the calls. And he is getting physically sick. Like, because we know that he's allergic to cats and he's not realizing that there's cats. Right? He's seen the one on the windshield, but that's about it. But we know, he's got allergy problems, but he thinks he's sick.
There's no less than 30 cats on his property.
Yeah. So I want to talk about that. But he has to go to work, but he calls a tow truck and oddly says the car's in the driveway. But the car's in the ditch. And then I was like, who's he talking about?
Stuck in a ditch off our driveway. Don't ask. We'll definitely need a tow truck.
What?
A tow truck.
All right.
Well, the car will be right out front.
Right there.
What? No, I can't understand. The batteries are going on this thing. What? Oh, thanks.
Is he saying that, like, if my wife's home, a car will be in the driveway, but the car's in the ditch and it needs to be taken out?
Yeah, I didn't understand that. But yeah, he does say the car's in the driveway, which means that the repairman comes back with his truck to work on the basement phone lines. And the tow truck driver shows up. But the wife isn't home because she's out having lunch with her sister. And so he tows the wrong truck, which we forgot to mention, by the way, that this is significant because the phone guy comes back only to get killed by the cats in the basement when they attack him and he hits his head and dies.
Well, you sped through that. I was going to say that he goes back to the basement. He is creeped out by those rats and stuff. And then cats, when he turns around, he thinks it's another rat. He's all freaked out. But when he turns around, there's like 25 cats around him, all staring at him. But then that's when we see the thing that's been staring at everybody through the movie that we've been watching through. Now, we were wrong. It's not a person and it's not some kind of werecat or whatever.
No.
It's Church.
Okay.
From Pet Sematary.
It is 100% the actor cat who played Church. Because cat, like, it has the same exact, like, everything as Church.
Well, I guess the one thing to say that's different is that for some reason his hair is greased up into, like, an afro type of situation.
Well, yeah, he looks like a hot mess, though. Like, he's been through something. Like, they went out of the way to grease him up and make him look.
Up.
Yeah, like, so he looks like the main, you know, the leader, and he's just
he's the leader.
Up. Yeah, he's like, you know, he's fucked in the head. He wants you to know he's going to just kill everybody.
Yeah, he is spooky as all hell.
Yeah.
And yeah, when the tow truck guy comes and starts towing the truck, that's when the cat jumps on the guy. And he's like wrestling the cat. All the cats start hitting him. And he falls into some kind of like...
It's like a wooden shelf.
Well, shelves. And he dies from that somehow. I don't know what he looks like. He maybe got knocked out.
Yeah.
But then maybe the cats eat him.
Well, I don't know. It didn't look like he got eaten. I don't. I don't know. I can't tell. Can't
really tell because we do not see this guy's body for a very long time.
No, and you know what the funny thing is? You know, the family, they come back home or whatever, and nobody ever knows he's there because his truck isn't there because it got towed.
Yeah, his truck isn't there, and also no one ever questions what happened to the car. Did it get pulled out of the ditch? No one,
they never go back to that.
No one calls about the car being towed. Nothing ever happens with that. And I'm just assuming that his car is in the ditch the entire movie. And what I find, we got to talk about the sister went to lunch with the other sister.
Yeah, but can we just say that I'm just a little... I
mean, the sisters went to lunch.
I'm just a little concerned about how this poor guy who's working at the phone company, how he's literally dead there and no one ever finds him. And no one's ever looking for him. Like, his truck got towed, so that would automatically hit back to his job, right? Someone would contact his job about the car. And does he have any family or anyone looking for him?
I agree,
His employer, maybe someone?
The phone company.
Right. Nothing. He's just laying there for a long time. And this bitch, this wife, she's going to the... She's going to lunch with her sister who just almost made out with her husband, basically.
Well, that actually happened the same morning. They went after that incident happened, and she's visibly like shook from the incident. What I couldn't stop questioning was that they knew a tow truck driver was coming, the tow truck driver, and they knew that the guy was coming for the phone line, and she went out. And yeah. I was like, what the fuck?
You know,
like,
because movie, Scott.
Because movie. When she goes to lunch, I love that the sister starts adding more to her lore of being an asshole to her sister because she mentions that, oh, I saw your ex-boyfriend from high school. I remember the one who used to give us the rides with his truck all the time. And,
yeah.
And I was flirting with him. And
She gave him her number. See, this bitch. See, this is like she's just trying to one-up her sister like by kissing her husband and just being a total dick.
Yeah.
Now she's like, you know, trying to go after her ex-boyfriend as if she would care. Yeah, first of all, this plot line is not needed at all.
It's interesting. It's a weird setup. It adds a little something to the movie where you're like, I don't know where this is about to go. I mean,
it's silly because we're dealing with a killer cat movie and now we're getting all drama between two sisters.
I just think look, some movies don't even try. They have
I guess you're right. They don't try. But
I would say.
Do we need this?
Okay. Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, I just thought it was interesting that they added more to the lore of like, oh, I even went after your ex-boyfriend. And she even makes a mention of like, I don't remember really getting a lot of rides with his truck, but I remember you trying to get rides from him all the time. It's like, damn. So you can see that these two, okay, she saw the kiss and she's mad. And that leads her to go when she goes home. And not realize that the phone guy's there, the tow truck driver has been there. She starts trying to fix up the house. And when she goes to the attic for the first time, she finds a cat with kittens.
Yeah, but only one kitten. When's the last time you saw a cat with only one? Like, usually if there's small litter, then maybe there's at least, like, maybe two. This woman only had one.
Well, church might have ate them. You know?
Yeah, I don't know who the daddy was, but...
Church.
Was it?
It was just the same color as him.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But
we're going to call him Church from now on.
Yes, call him Church.
So she is, you know, her first instinct is, you know what? My husband kissed my sister, and he's allergic to cats. I'm going to get these cats. I'm going to bring him to his office.
Here's the thing. I don't know if maybe possibly killing your husband is... right course of action.
No.
Because a lot of people are super allergic to things that could really harm them.
Yeah.
And she brought the fucking cat to the office.
We got so many things to break down with this cat bringing to the office thing. Because one, we know he works far away in the city. He has to take a train because there's no car.
Right. But I thought the car was in the ditch, hence the tow truck. How did the wife and daughter get there?
They have their own car. So they drove, but I was laughing because in the movie, they seem it's like a long time. The fact that she got in her car with a basket full of cats and drove this long distance just to say, hey, you fucking asshole, here's some cats.
I'm going to stick it to you.
I'm going to leave them in your office to shit and piss all over the place. What I love is that during this moment, We didn't even know she was driving to them. She just was like, we got to show daddy these cats, the daughter. At the same time, the sister is in the office because there is like a phone call about the case with the other lawyer. And so he's talking to the lawyer on the phone, and it turns out that the sister was cheating on her husband the whole time, and she didn't tell her lawyer.
Which, why do we need to know this? I don't know. We don't.
Well, it leads into the sister crying a little bit about how, you know, oh, I just want this house, just my apartment and all that. And he gets up to comfort her. Now, I was like shocked. I was like, are they really going to go here with this? And the sister, the wife, walks in and sees him consoling her. It looks like they're still like hooking up.
You know, I know why they did this. I know why they made this plot line, because when the sister bites it, we're not going to give a fuck, because she a hoe. That's why.
So I figured, why not give him a thrill? I roll down my window, I turn, and you're not going to believe who it was.
Who?
Chuck Lubin.
Who?
Chuck Lubin. Used to date him in high school. Don't you remember that really big guy used to come over to the house sometimes and show us his car? He used to get upset because he always wanted to take me for rides.
Oh, yeah. Check the duck.
Yeah, you should see him now. He's gorgeous.
And I think it was you who was always begging for the ride.
I gave him my phone number.
Why?
Well, people change.
Claire, don't you think it might be a good idea to take a little time for yourself right now?
Look, I'm not going to marry the guy.
I know, but... Oh, forget it. Never mind.
What were you going to say?
Why do you always need other people to fill you up?
She a hoe.
It's also to cause tension between the husband and the wife. So there's something there where they're not together and like,
yeah,
to keep them a little bit of apart,
right?
To make the movie happen,
to put like a bridge between them, yeah, or
yeah,
a wedge.
I like your spoiler. I like you just thought right at the
you
end.
Know,
we can
still talk about this.
I have a question though before we move on.
I have lots of things to say.
I have a question about how the sister cleaned up the house.
Okay.
Because there is famously 25 fucking cats and a killer cat ruling the house. When did the sister give them the house? How did they clean the house but leave the basement and the attic? How did cats not attack her then?
Oh, you mean before, like when she's preparing it for showings?
Yes.
Okay.
Or yeah. When the people moved the dead body of the old woman, there must have been cat wounds.
Well, there must have been something. I mean, she got probably scratched up and fell down the stairs.
That's what I'm saying. There's got to be cat scratches and cat wounds, like attack wounds. There has to be something to it where I'm like, how did that all get swept under the rug?
I mean, yeah.
And who cleaned this house up? Who did this woman have kids or family? And did her, like, all of her furniture and stuff get cleaned out? These kids have to come to the house? How come they weren't murdered?
That's right. When she's selling the house, the house would have to get cleaned up, you know, to an extent so that they could show it.
Usually, the easy way out here, usually the easy way out of a movie like this is that you have the family, the relative of the old woman coming back into town to claim her stuff.
Yeah.
And so that's all you had to do there. Instead, they did this whole thing where, like, no, this woman's selling the house and found the house on the market for her sister and her husband. And I'm like, that's interesting because somebody had to see these cats before because it's their territory and they're moving stuff out of it.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, did they disappear for the day so they can clean out the freaking house?
That's my point.
And, like, it's ridiculous. Like
how?
They weren't there before. Like, there was hundreds of them.
Are they just that, like, hey, let's lay low until the new family comes in, then we'll kill those people too?
Yeah, hey, slick, come on, let's go down the back alley.
We'll trick them down the back alley. We can pick their pockets.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll feed us. Like, that's weird, right?
They went into hiding so that they can fix up the house to be shown. Which, by the way, I'm sorry, that basement was a freaking shithole. I mean, it's gross.
It's gross. Well, we have to talk about the next twist thing.
Okay.
That happens. The husband and the wife are they're fighting. And she is saying that she's keeping the cats to piss him off. He's like, I'm allergic to them. And she is basically saying, well, you should have thought of that first before you started trying to hook up with my sister. And he's like, that's not what happened. He actually defends it.
Oh, yeah. He, first of all, this is the part that I started to be like, okay, this whole time I like this guy. Okay.
Yeah.
I like this
100%.
Guy.
He's like an interesting guy. He's nice.
He's like, oh, you know, she's going through something and I was just trying to help her out. I'm like, what, you tripped and your penis ended up in her or something?
Well, that didn't happen. But didn't I'm go just that
saying,
far.
Like, that's ridiculous. That's basically what he's saying. Like, oh, but hello.
He said she kissed me and it wasn't like I kissed her and I was only consoling her because she was crying.
Yeah, but what if the wife didn't walk in at that moment?
Would it have gone farther?
Yes.
Yeah, it would have.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying.
So this is some BS.
I agree with you and I felt like that was really strange. Even she's mad about it. But they have a dog and the dog in the night gets out of the thing. Every day he's been like going out and barking at something, but we don't know what it is. Maybe he's the one scaring the cats off. I don't know. But this one night they allow him to go out into a rainstorm.
This is the stupidest thing ever. Like obviously the dog's going to come in and he's going to be all soaking wet and muddy and gross. Why would you let him out in a rainstorm? And then they go to bed and they don't even check on him.
No, they go to bed because they're fighting. And the dog goes into the basement. And we do not see what happens to the dog. And we were like, oh my God, the dog is going to die.
I was pretty pissed off. I'm like, no, these cats are not going to kill this dog. We are not going to have a showdown.
Yeah. No. Yeah, which it could have easily been. But one of the funniest things is they go to bed angry, the husband and wife. And in the morning, he wakes up. The cat is in the air vent watching them.
Yep. And sick.
It's crazy that his little paws are opening up the air vent. It's so fun. And when he wakes up, the bed has piss all over it.
Like all over it. During I have the not night. Seen. Now, here's the thing that got me. During the night, this cat came in and peed all over them, all over their pillows, all over everything. And they didn't wake up. Okay, fine. But the fact that he goes to, you know, he realizes what happened when he woke up. He's like, ew, this is fucking pee. He goes to get his shirt out of the closet and all of the clothes are covered in pee.
Yeah.
Now, I have never seen a cat projectile pee like that.
They spray, right?
What? It was up in a closet.
In that kind of thing. I don't know if they spray. I know there's a, well, there was a shelf. I was going to point it out to you. I was like, well, there's a shelf. I mean, it's a way to say that that's possible.
Oh my God. How much pee does this freaking cat have in him? It was all over the bed.
Well, there was 20 cats.
Well, true. But how do you have 20 cats on your bed and you don't know it? You don't wake up.
And also, like, how did he open the air vent perfectly and leave it halfway open right, so he doesn't drop on them?
I mean, you're the lightest sleeper of all time. I literally can hear something happen in Miami.
Hell no. Yeah, no way.
I
will say, and you also
imagine this.
This is odd too, because when a cat does something like this, they're claiming their territory. They're telling everybody like, this is my spot.
Right.
But the weird thing is they also killed a rat and put it at the end of their bed, which is usually a thing about like, a present, like, here's what I did for you kind of a thing.
Fucking
so
gross.
It's like, why would he also do that, the cat? You know what I mean? Like, why would the cat give him a present and say, I'm taking care of the house for you, but also piss all over him?
Yeah. First of all, none of it makes sense. It's chaos. And you know what? You know how dogs say that they love you? You know, they'll get your slippers for you.
I've never seen that happen.
They'll get your pillow for you.
Bull crap.
They'll get your blankie. You know. Nice things.
I remember
they don't leave fucking dead rodents at your feet. It's disgusting. You know, I have a friend that actually had a cat that brought a dead iguana into her bed. Into her bed.
They see it as like they're doing something for you to make you happy.
Like, no,
look
thanks.
What I got. I stopped this thing for you.
I'm good.
That's how they see it.
No.
Which I think is interesting. But no. I will say that he does realize the dog is missing in the morning after the piss incident. And then he walks around the house and stops himself. He doesn't go in the basement because no one ever wants to go in this basement, although they leave it open all
no,
the time.
Mind you, the body is still down there.
Yeah, there's a body down there. And the dog, he finds it underneath the staircase, the outside stairs. Like it has crawled under the thing. Usually when dogs do that, they do that to die. Which is
sad. He's very injured.
He's weeping, and we were really sad.
I was so sad.
We were sad for this dog,
poor
all messed
Benny.
Up. they call the vet in to come and look. And we get a new character.
This is fourth character in the movie, or fifth character in the movie.
Yeah. William Boyett plays this character. He's playing Dr. the Vet. We're just going to call him the Vet. He was also in The Hidden. He was another one of the people. Wow. He was also in When a Stranger Calls, Bloody Birthday, and Theodore Rex.
Nice.
Got to end on a high note.
Nice. Oh, yeah, I don't. I don't.
This actor comes in, and I got to tell you, he steals the show in the scene. The only scene that he's in this movie, he comes in and basically says, "You let your dog out in the rain all night? What a piece of shit you guys are."
Yeah, you know how vets are. You know, they'll tell you everything you're doing wrong, even though you're not doing anything wrong. It's like, wait, you brush your dog's teeth only once a week? You're supposed to do it every other day. One time they asked us, how often do you give your dog a bath? I said, I give my dog a bath once a week because he goes outside and he gets a stinky. And the vet's like, oh no, it should be every 2 weeks. Like, everything you're doing is wrong for your dog. No, you're feeding your dog regular dog food? No. They need organic, tummy enhancing, you know, supplemental, organic crap. You know,
yeah, we got, you're doing it wrong. Oh, you're giving those treats on the shelf? Those treats on the shelf aren't for dogs.
No.
The dog treats?
No, you should buy the little tiny 4-ounce bag that we have at our counter right here for $49.99. Yeah.
You know, owning a pet is a privilege. Shouldn't be taken lightly.
Oh, yeah.
That's how vets are. They are so... I can't tell you how many times they made us feel bad. I tried to clip our dog's nails. It's like, you're not doing it right. You're not. I'm like, do you say rough? Rough.
Move the mic. Jeez. I'm gonna have to lower the volume.
Sorry. But yeah, like, vets are like that. So yeah, this particular vet did that too. But he gave them, which is funny because they told him that there's cats about. Roaming about, and he gave them a gun. I was like, oh my god, a gun.
Yeah, but he does it so much better than that. He rags on them a lot, and I love that he does this funny thing where he's like the PSA for dogs. He comes in the movie and he's like, oh, you're such a good boy, and he looks at the screen and he goes, they love when you do that.
he's so funny.
And then later on he goes you're the good protector of this house. They love when you say that too.
I was like, why do we need this comic relief?
I don't
know,
but I love this character, and I was hoping he was in the whole movie. But yeah, when he's our main actor is kind of like pissing him off a little bit. He literally turns to him with a gun and points the gun at them with his finger on the trigger and everything. And he goes, and they're like, whoa.
I was like really in shock because I was like, wait, are they that bad of like pet owners that he's like whipping a gun on them?
It's like,
it was a water gun.
He says, oh, it's a water gun. You can spray the cats in the face. They hate water.
Yeah, like to get rid of them. I was like, oh my god, this vet is so unconventional. He's crazy.
I love this guy.
And the cats upstairs.
Moving downstairs.
You don't seem very concerned here.
Mr. Jarrett, we're talking about a cat. Get a grip on yourself.
Wait a minute. My dog's been ripped to shreds. My room's destroyed. My sinuses are completely inflamed. I think I got a right to be concerned. As a matter of fact, I'd appreciate if you were a little bit more understanding.
All right. Hey! Now, I didn't want to have to do this. Here, take it.
What?
Go ahead, take it. It's not loaded.
This is a water pistol.
Ah, you're very observant. Gee, cats hate water. Now, you see any around here you don't want to keep? You give them a shot with that. Now, they'll despise you, and the psychological damage will be profound, but they'll leave.
And then, and I love that the husband, after this, when he goes out, he's like, hey, I never got my car back, so could you give me a ride to the train station? I got to take the train into work. And the guy's like, he looks at the dog, and he goes, wow, he's really pushing it, huh?
Doctor?
Yeah.
If it's not too much trouble, could I get a ride into town with you? I got to catch a train.
Hey, he has no shame, has he?
All right, get in the car with us. He's going to take the dog to monitor the dog for like 2 days.
I'm happy because I was like, this dog's going to be out of the house and safe. Thank God, because this shit's going to go down. I know it.
Oh, and another thing he says too, one of those winking at the screen, he goes, owning a pet is a privilege. And I was like, damn, this guy, man. Well, anyways, they leave. He goes to work, and the wife is going to be home with the daughter. So we know everything's going to go to hell.
Oh, man, everything goes to hell from now on.
Everything goes to shit, yeah.
And this is, like, I'm not going to lie, okay? Like, this shit is scary. This woman is painting the house, and she puts the girl down for a nap. Now, this scene got me. I'm not going to lie. It got me. I was freaking out. So she hears some kind of noise, and the kid's in the crib asleep. So she goes to check on the kid. Oh, my God. I literally lost my shit. There was about 10 cats, like, on top of the kid in the crib. Okay?
Well, we don't see the kid, and I was like, okay, we're in shock. I was like, there's no way the kid's in here because they're not screaming. And
I was like, she's dead. Like, oh my God.
I was like, they will never kill this kid.
I was like, why not? Because they've killed kids in movies before.
Not in a TV USA Network.
I didn't know that it was a TV movie until, like, you just told me.
I mean, I was like, there's no way.
So I was like, oh my God. I was freaking out because they were all in her crib and stuff. It turns out, oh, this little baby, I felt so bad for her. They were drinking the milk from her bottle, but she went and hid in the closet.
Somehow she got out and she was in the closet. And she was
crying. I felt so bad for her. And the
because Church is like knocking out the things on the closet door to get at her.
Yeah. Like they had one of those like old wooden doors that like had the slots or whatever. And it is clawing, I think. Yeah. It is clawing at her to, you know, at the door to get to her. And she's crying. And so her mother grabs her and gets her out of there. However,
little kid's killing it. I'm just going to say she's knocking it out of the park.
Killing it.
It looks so real.
I believed her.
I think she was really scared. Yeah.
I tried to look on trivia on this movie, but again, there's nothing. There's literally no trivia on this movie.
I found some, but yeah, go ahead. What are you going to say?
It's not on IMDb.
Yeah, no, it's not.
But yeah, so then all the shit hits the fan right now.
Because these cats
are all in the house.
They run. She doesn't run out of the house, of course. She runs into the other room and shuts the door. And all like 20 cats come after her and literally start shredding the door.
Yeah.
I was shocked by this. But the funniest part is then she realizes the cat is in the damn air vent and is trying to come in. And it is slowly pushing the air vent out. Little paws. And you see the screws unscrewing out of the things. I was laughing. I was like, this is amazing. Like, this is so much fun. And she sticks pillows in the air vent to stop him.
Which was very smart.
Yeah, she sticks two pillows in there. And the cat, we actually get to see the inside of the air vent and the cat shredding the pillows.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's great.
But like, literally, I mean, we're next level savage. This cat wants to kill them.
Yeah, it goes into the night, which a giant storm comes in. And a giant storm comes in and they're trapped in this room. And one of her thoughts is to get a vase and fill it with water in the sink, which I was like, why did you take this long?
Right.
And then she doesn't know how to fill the damn vase. And so she has to hit, for some reason, the bathtub doesn't work. So she hits the damn handles off and shoots water out.
Yeah, so she has a vase full of water. However, she has to, first of all, she's injured. The cat scratched her up. But she has to get this kid out of that room and downstairs and out the front door without getting attacked. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to be so brutal. It's going to be so brutal.
Yeah.
And she finally makes it outside, right?
Well, the cats are coming at her. She gets to the front door after like evading them somehow. She gets to the front door and they're all over the room at this point. The church is even on the chandelier.
Yeah, this is next level terrifying, okay? Because literally, there's 20 of them surrounding them. I was like, no. Yeah, there's no amount of money that can get me to do this.
Basically, Church is looking at them, growling, you know, like hissing at them. And virtually, there's no subtitles here, but the subtitles are, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah.
And she does. And Church even jumps at the door and closes it.
Yep.
After they get out.
I was in shock. So they're outside in the rain, but there's like this little like shed thing that looks like a playhouse. it just coincidentally looks like a playhouse, but it's like a little shed. And the two of them, the little girl and her mom, are like hiding in there. But before they left the house, she was able to call.
She left the husband. She couldn't make out what they were saying. Instead of saying, like, come home.
Yeah.
Like, cat attack, anything. She just keeps saying, hun, like,
answer. I know.
And he's like, what's going on? And they can't hear each other. So he leaves work, but he doesn't have a car. So he borrows his secretary's car and drives home in the middle of this, like, hurricane. And
at least he had common sense to know that, you know, maybe something's up. I have to get home.
But he does say to his secretary, cancel
the court date,
cancel it, tell everybody that I can't go, family emergency. And that gets back to the sister, who is getting ready for court by putting on sexy clothes and makeup, like lipstick.
Can we talk about how this is at night? Okay,
it is.
Yeah, there's no court date at night. Courts close like around 5. So
you're right. Maybe that's because of the storm. What the
fuck is going on?
Because the storm came in.
Why is she getting all dolled up? I don't know. But
yeah, that is true. I didn't even catch that, but you're right.
Yeah.
Unless it is the storm and that's why it's not sunny.
I don't
know. And then because we see he's been driving for a while because he gets lost during the rainstorm. Because I don't think he's driven home from work before, because he has to take the train in and out, and his car has been destroyed, so he's not, like, used to it yet. So he gets lost in the middle of the night in this rainstorm, and the sister shows up during the rainstorm, but the wife doesn't know because she's in that little house, and it's thundering. So the sister pulls up and goes inside the house.
Well, before she goes inside the house, the sister, the wife, actually goes down to the basement, leaves the kid in the little shed, and goes down to the basement, doesn't she find the guy's body finally?
Yeah, she does. She does call 911
from the satellite phone that he has.
She's actually with the daughter at that point. That's before they go into the little house, because she puts her down against the wall. She's trying to cover her face from seeing the dead body.
Oh yeah,
because the guy is full. I mean, he's rigor mortis, is like said.
I mean, I couldn't imagine.
Couldn't get the phone in his hand.
Yeah, the smell from down there. Like, I mean, I understand, like, you know, nobody's looking for this guy. It's just so bizarre. But the fact that you would never go down to the basement for any reason, like, why wouldn't you go down there?
I know. When you're cleaning this place out, you think you'd check everything.
Like, right. The attic, I would check everything.
It is odd that there was so much left behind in the attic and the basement. But she does call 911, and she does get that little house. And the sister goes into the house. And the only reason she even knows the sister's shown up is because the little girl plays a game with her father where she calls out the colors of cars.
Mm-hmm.
So she says, blue car, blue car, blue car. She looks out the window in the rainstorm and sees her sister there. So she says, she leaves her daughter behind. She says, you have to stay here, honey. You have to stay here. I have to go in the house. So she goes in the house and leaves the daughter behind. And she goes in the house. And at this point, the sister's been walking around the house trying to figure out what's going on. There's no lights on.
She finally puts the lights on.
She finally puts them on.
Finally, after all this time, because they've been walking around in the dark in this house for an hour. Like, what is wrong with you? Just hit the light switch.
Yeah. I don't, well, I guess she was
because
just too
the
terrified.
Cat actors were taking a break. They were at the freaking craft service table having their cheese.
Yeah. She goes up. The sister went upstairs and she's like, oh, stop being mad. Like, I you know, you don't be mad. You know, I it didn't mean anything and all that. Because she's saying that out loud, that she thinks that's why that court date was canceled, because maybe she caused some kind of rift between them or something like that. And she doesn't see anybody in the house. She can't figure it out. And by the way, the bathtub is overflowing all over the place.
So she walks up the stairs, and that's when she gets, like, I guess, I wouldn't even say attacked. The cat Church just kind of, like, you know, hisses at her, and she goes over the banister.
No, so there it was set up earlier in the movie that the little girl likes to play in the packing boxes, and the sister saw her in the packing boxes. It was like, oh, you're hiding in there? So it's dark on the banister, near the banister of the stairs, and there's a box, and it's moving. And she's like, is that you in there? And when she goes to open it, the sister comes in the front door and says, don't.
Oh, yeah.
And then she, Church jumps out onto her face and makes her fall off the banister and into a dining room table and die instantly.
Well, I don't think that would have killed her.
Yeah.
It wasn't too high off the ground for that to have killed her.
It's like the woman in the mother in the Omen didn't die from this. No. Remember when the mother from the Omen fell?
Right. She fell far, too.
She actually gets killed at the hospital later on when she falls into the ambulance, right?
Yeah, she falls out the window.
Doesn't she fall again?
Yeah. But she dies that time. She falls out the window. But so the sister's dead, and then the husband arrives home finally. And runs into the house and I guess sees the sister dead there.
Well, she goes outside and she realized that the daughter's missing.
The daughter.
So she tells the husband, I'll go. You stay, you're all messed up. I'll go in the house. I'll get her. So he goes in the house.
She's in the kitchen sitting on the floor surrounded by hissing cats. And they're like swiping at her and like hissing at her like demons. And I was like, oh my God, this poor baby. And she's crying real tears.
Oh, it's unbelievable. I think
this kid was 100% terrified. And she probably grew up to be just like me.
Maybe. Maybe that's why she didn't do movies anymore. Maybe this movie scarred the shit out of me.
I mean, it would. It scarred me just watching this. There was 20 of them hissing and like trying to like, you know, take a slap at her.
Yeah, the husband comes up with Timothy Busfield. He comes up with a great idea where he says, honey, you're going to have to crawl out the doggy door. He's like, don't, just slowly crawl out the doggy door and go. And the mom's outside the door now. And she's like, don't open the door. Go to mommy. So she finally starts crawling to mom. And that's when all the cats start attacking her husband. And now he has a fight with her.
It's next level. Okay. They have a duel and this comes back with the freaking wiring that's bad in the house because, now, mind you, the lights are off in the house, even though the lights in the foyer are on. So I'm like, okay, the lights are off in the kitchen.
He's just not thinking about turning the lights on at this moment.
I mean, come on.
He's a little too preoccupied with his daughter there and the cat's attacking him. He's not going to turn on the lights. What I do love is that he does throw Church into the microwave and he is going to nuke him. I couldn't believe this. I thought they were going to do it, but then I realized, oh, the microwave's broken because of the wiring.
Right.
So he can't do it.
So he rips the microwave out of the freaking wall and throws the microwave across the room. Now, mind you, this door, nothing can get out of this door, okay? You can't, there's no...
There's got to be a way.
I don't know. I've never been trapped inside a microwave.
No, no one has, but I know it just in case. There's got to be a way to open it from the or push it.
Can a freaking crazy cat figure that out?
Yeah, this cat is a boss.
This thing does not just open the door. It literally flings the door open and flies through the air and lands on Timothy Busfield's face.
Well, he actually says, yeah, he throws it again against the off of him, and then he lands on the
countertop,
the countertop. In the kitchen, he's on the floor, and that's when he sees the sparking wire, and he grabs it and says, come on, you bastard, or whatever, you know, smile, you son of a bitch. And the cat jumps at it and bites the wire and it gets electrocuted.
So bye-bye, Church. So I thought, I was like, okay, he's a leader, so this
other cat's disappeared.
The other ones like disappeared, we didn't see them. But so it turns out that the police arrive and
the cop says, is this the house, the address? Is this your house? And he says, no. He goes, but where's the owners? They're inside.
Yeah, meaning it's the cat's house. We're fucking out. We're out. We're done. So I guess the next day they tell us that they cleared all the cats out. Like animal control came and cleared all the cats out. And we see them moving boxes and they're getting the fuck out of there. And I'm like,
I love it. It's like, they're basically like, oh, we're good. We're getting another house. We're all good. Everything's great. And she's like, yeah, we're happy again.
Yeah, my sister's dead.
Yeah, my sister. We got that bitch out of the way.
She a hoe.
She a hoe. She gave us bad realtor advice.
Yeah, she a hoe. She sold us this fucking house with all these damn cats and rats and
where an old falling woman got apart. Murdered.
And an old woman got murdered. Yeah. Fuck that bitch.
Fuck that bitch. And we thought, okay, it's over. Nope. Another family comes in and we see this baby church.
There's baby church under the house. I'm like, oh, God.
And we only hear them talking. What is that? It's a cat. How cute.
Yeah, this is that movie that would end like that. But I'll tell you, man, I did not like these cats. And this is not helping the cause at all. I was terrified watching these animals.
Mr. Jarrett, we're talking about a cat. Get a grip on yourself.
I'm going to say, I'm shocked how much I enjoyed this film.
Yeah.
I actually thought it was very creepy. If I had seen this when I was a kid, this would have scared the shit out of me.
Oh, are you kidding me?
This would have scared the shit out of me.
And I'm an adult. It scares me. I just because of how mean they looked and just, I mean, all of them together all at once, like all 20 of them just sitting there like hissing at this little girl.
Yeah.
It's fucking terrible.
I had to point this out because I found something that I'm shocked I hadn't found before in any of the little bit of research I can do on these movies, but I found a awesome website called humanehollywood.org that they explain how all of these movies were done. If you go and look, there's a database of saying how the movies were all made and how each scene was done with the animals to ensure their safety.
Wow, I did not know that.
And
they
actually score them on the safety of the animals and how everything was done and to grade them. The funny thing is, though, when I looked into it, this movie was on there full detail. So if you want to see this, you can actually, if you watch this movie and you're like, how do they do this? They have a detailed scene-by-scene description of when everything was a prop, animal, and puppetry and all that kind of stuff, and real pets. And how the trainers all did what they did and what was really happening in each shot.
Nice.
And it's very, very interesting, humanehollywood.org. But one of the things I have to point out here is that we were questioning last month's dog films. And when I went to the database, I realized 1977 was not even on the website. So it just made me laugh because three of the dog films we were questioning were from 77.
Oh my God.
So it's completely not even on that website. Wow. So that is a questionable month. Year, a questionable year in Hollywood.
Were any of the animals harmed during the making of this film?
No.
It's
reading each little fact about how they did it, incredible. I was like, I could not tell. Well, there was only one shot in particular where I remember saying to you, I know they were shaking that cat. Because the cat, you know when you're like, you play with a cat a little bit when you like wrestle with a cat, you like mess around with a cat, he'll hiss, but it's like a playing hiss.
Mm-hmm.
Like, rah, like stop it. I'm sleepy. Don't mess with me. You can tell that they were doing that. And he was, because the way he was moving was like he was being shook.
Mm-hmm.
And so the cat was like hissing back, but they framed it where you can't really see. But if I slow it down, I'll see fingers on the back of the cat. That was the only shot where I was like, I can see how they did that. The only other thing that I think we pointed out that was questionable was the cat that came across the windshield being a different color.
Mm-hmm.
It seemed like someone tossed it, but they said it was a prop when I read it online, how they did it. So that was it. That was the only times where I noticed that it didn't look good. Otherwise, I was impressed.
Yeah, I was impressed too. I was scared. I was scared for that little girl and I was scared for the dog.
Yeah.
But you said you had trivia on this. Did you find
That was the trivia. You could find any information about how it was made online. Pretty incredible. Usually I can't find stuff like that. Here I was shocked to find that. I also wanted to say that I just lost my train of thought. I lost it. You got me there when you said there was more facts. But I was going to say that it is an impressive film. And I couldn't find the budget on this movie, but I will say that it seemed like it was a shoestring budget made for a TV movie. And I'm shocked what they were able to pull out for no budget.
Yeah.
So I'm actually a little surprised that this is so low rated.
Yeah. I mean, I found, Well, what would you give it as
That's
far as
the question,
score?
Right? Because it has a 4.7, which I think is criminally low. I didn't hate this film at all.
I mean, I didn't hate it at all, no, but...
I mean, do you feel... I feel like it's a little better than mediocre.
Good boy. They like it when you say that.
Feel like a 6 is warranted here.
Yeah, I think it's a 6. I mean... This is one of those movies where I thought that I was going to hate this family for some reason because they would get on my nerves, but no, they didn't. I like the family.
No, I mean, it's a, for a TV movie, and especially when you think of movies like It, when you think of old TV movies from the 90s, It's like, when you think of movies like that, you're like, oh, you know, there's some cheesy stuff, there's some cool stuff. To me, this was like a short, sweet little movie.
Yeah.
So I think I will give it a 6. I think it's much better than the low rating for some reason. I can't imagine why people hate it. So if you can find a lower than a 4 rating, I would love to hear it. But
oh, I sure did. I found a 1 and a 10. So I'm going to, this is my segment of why we can't have nice things, where I read out two extremes of online reviews, a 1-star and a 10-star review. As proof that people cannot review movies and they screw it up for everybody. Now, this is a 1-star review and it's shocking. Anyway, it's called Strays Away. Said, if I could have voted 0 on this movie, I would.
Wow.
I consider this movie cruelty to cats and cat lovers alike.
Oh, God.
I could not believe they made a thriller about the most cutest of the furry friends. The cutest furry friend's domestic animal alive. Oh, geez. He says, I guess since they can make dogs vicious, they would have to do the same for cats. Okay.
It's like, to me, this whole idea that, like, it's horror movies. Like, when did we make things like Taboo? No, you're not allowed to do it because I love cats. That's so strange. It's like, you never hear that kind of stuff. Like, oh, how dare you make ants look like villains? How dare you make a spider look like a villain? And now they're doing that with sharks too. How dare you make sharks look like a villain? Like, these give all these animals a bad rap.
Sharks, like, are predators, you fucktard.
Well, wow, Joe. Jeez, I wasn't gonna go that far.
They're predators.
They don't kill like we think they do.
Who's saying that about sharks, though?
What do you mean? Which part? They don't actually kill like you think they do.
It's not mistaken Jaws.
Identity stuff.
Right, I know.
It's not Jaws. That's why they're saying these movies gave this Shark Week and gave these, everybody thinks that sharks are like human killers. Well, they'll accidentally attack a human because they think it's something else, right, for their prey.
But they're still predators at the end of the day.
At the end of the day, they are still creatures that could kill you. And so, of course, a horror movie... Like, that's virtually saying that every horror movie ever made is ridiculous. It gives a bad name to camp counselors. It gives a bad name to trucks. It gives a bad... It's so stupid. Like, when did we get so, like... I like you said, fucked up. Can't get past that. I can't get past that now.
I mean, come on. Anyway, I'm going to read my 10-star review here.
Oh my God, a 10.
Yeah, 10-star.
I don't even know where. I mean, I'm baffled. I don't even know what to say.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. So this is best worst horror film ever. If you love watching terrible horror films as I do, this is the one to watch. It really has no redeeming features except that it is hilarious.
Oh my God.
I have seen this film twice and would have watched it more, but for some reason it doesn't get shown on TV anymore and I can't find a copy to buy on DVD.
You're in good luck. Shout Factory released it.
Ah, there you go. Do not expect to feel scared or nervous while watching this movie, as it lacks all the elements that make a horror movie a horror movie. There is no tension, no shocks, and no gore. The acting is terrible, the plot is awful, and the effects are ridiculous. It makes you wonder if the people who made it actually watched it before offering it to the general public. But thank God they did. Okay, this is your prime example of a 10, why we can't have nice things. Why are you giving this a 10?
Yeah.
You freaking butt nug. Why? Why? Because it's not a freaking 10. Everything you're saying in this review points to it being a piece of crap. So why are you giving it a 10?
I love you.
I can't take it anymore.
I agree. Nothing says a horrible critic padding the scores than a 10-star review that says there's no redeeming qualities in this movie.
Except it's, that like, it's hilarious. Go,
you know what, guys? Stop. Like,
really, dude? Really?
That's just as bad as the 1-star. This is the worst thing I've ever seen because it makes cats look bad. It's like,
oh my God. I know. These two are the worst. I had to bring them up.
I can't take it. I don't understand. Like, does anybody not want any film to exist? Or is it just that they only like when you attack the thing that they hate?
I know.
Yeah.
I just have no patience. That was the worst. That was the epitome of why we can't have nice things. That review right there.
I agree.
Because everything about you, dude, is wrong. Pissed me off. Now I'm all riled up.
Wait. It's wild. I'm trying to think to myself now, because we've done the 2 months and the idea of versing dogs versus cat movies versing each other. And I think we had a common theme between the 2 months, where there was one movie we were shocked we liked it as much as we did. And I think in the case of this movie being rated higher for us than we thought it would ever be, 6, which because we thought it was pretty fun as a horror film, I feel like this competes with the movie The Breed,
yes,
which was another movie that we gave it, I think, a 6, because we were like, you know what, it's kind of enjoyable.
Yeah.
So that competes, and that's together. There's also a movie we did that was called Dogs. And then we did another movie called Cats. So like the cat, the dogs. So I think we've had a pretty steady rating scale on the two different months.
Yeah.
But I definitely think even with this movie being as fun, even having some wacky good time with some of these other movies we've done, especially, by the way, it was another movie I think we gave a 6, was the Tiger film that we watched.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Which we really enjoyed.
Yeah.
It was the Killer Tiger movie. Yeah. Or Prey, I think Prey. It was called.
Uh-huh.
It was another one we gave a 6. So I don't know if we're going by score. I think the cat movies win in scores?
No.
Because I think in the dog films we watched, I think we didn't give anything but The Breed a 6.
Yeah, but we... No, I think, didn't we give the one with Joe Don Baker a 6?
Oh, we might have.
Yeah, we did. I'm sorry, dog movies are winning.
I was going to say, but if you put them both together, if I had to pick the movies to watch again, I'm watching the dog ones.
And 100%.
The dog ones turned out to be a hell of a lot of fun.
Yeah.
When I close my eyes and think about the two sets of movies, Dracula's dog is big in my head.
Yep.
The Joe Don Baker movie, The Pack, and The Breed had a lot of bits in it that were so wild and crazy.
Yeah.
That they were really standing out to me. The cat ones, I will say that we kind of had a hiccup last week with the corpse grinders, but still, the other four weren't bad.
No, but I mean, if we have to go overall by enjoyability, 100% the dog movies.
I think that the dog movies might have been the most fun. I think mostly because the two movies we started with this month, The Cat and The Black Cat, were both kind of like, eh.
Yeah, they were just me.
I mean, they both had scenes in them that were, especially the cat had some of the best scenes in it. It was just a bad overall movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that the dog movies win.
Dog movies, hands down. And not just because I am biased and I love dogs, but because they were hands down better films. They were more enjoyable. They had me on the edge of my seat. This one, though, this was a nice surprise, this movie,
yeah,
The Strays, because yeah, I was very pleasantly surprised by how much I liked the characters in this, and also, you know, how well they did the cats. Like, I mean, they were terrifying. They definitely achieved what they were going for.
The cats were very interesting and scary, and the family
acted well enough for what was going on around them.
Yeah.
The little girl alone, it was hard to not go,
oh. Oh my God, she's so cute. She was terrified.
And same thing with the dog, too. It was like everything that was going on in the movie,
I
was like, oh no.
I know.
I don't want anything to happen.
I don't want anything to happen to anybody in this movie.
So,
I mean, except the sister. She a bitch. She got what she deserved, being a hoe.
Geez.
She a hoe.
Oh, man. What a poor woman. Poor, poor woman. All right, so yeah, I guess that's all we got.
Yep,
that's all another we got. Movie not going on our list because it's pretty decent.
It's not going on the list. Yeah. No way.
So, any parting thoughts?
No. I just still think that dogs rule and cats are stinkers.
Cats drool.
Yeah. Well, and I don't really drool.
It's dog. Isn't it cats rule, dogs drool? Is that what they normally say?
That's what people say. No, but it's... No. Dogs rule. And you know what? I got to tell you something. There's a quote in this movie that made
me bring it up.
Very, very, very happy. Because the main guy in the movie, he says to his wife, she says, you know, maybe you should learn a little bit about cats' behavior. And he says, I don't need to be told how cats behave. I know how they behave. That's why I have a dog.
On that note, I would love to hear your guys' thoughts. If there's another cat movie or dog movie that you think is great that we missed, I'd love to hear about it. Hit us up in the comments wherever you are listening to this on YouTube or hit us up on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. And we appreciate you for listening as always. And until next time, have a good one.
Bye.
Here's to nine lives, pal.
You know, owning a pet is a privilege.